your life. All right, all right.
What time it is? We can let down our hair. The moon is high, and we are lunatics now. It's deep in the safe harbor. It's dark 30. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off the radio if you don't want to potentially hear some outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'm your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Abandon all hope.
Daddy gonna give you something to drink now. That's right, I am here in Puerto Rico in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, and I am joined in the Asheville studio by producer Hardwood Forrest Connor and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Shelley, how are things going at Wright's Coin Shop?
Things are going great, just plucking right along. Lots of stuff to sell, lots of people coming in, lots of phone calls. So,
What are people asking about? Is there anything special that is on everybody's mind right now? Or what's the status of gold and silver and all that?
Well, it's still kind of hovering in the same place. It's still low right now. People are wondering how much lower it's going to go. They're wondering, is it going to go high again? And I do think that it will. Now is just an excellent time. If you can get a hold of gold or silver, it's a wonderful time. It really is. The price is right. And definitely stay the course. Keep buying it because it will go up.
Yeah, the idea is to buy when it's low and sell when it's high. So this is definitely a buyer's market for gold and silver.
It is. But again, if you can find it, and it's harder and harder to secure. You just it's not coming in the way it used to. People are hanging on to it. So definitely, since we have gold and silver now, you need to come out. You really need to come see me before it's gone again.
So people are starting to hoard their treasures, huh?
They are. Well, with the market low, people aren't necessarily wanting to sell unless they have to. They're waiting for it to go back up. But whenever it is high, people have no trouble selling it. Oh, I'm going to take my profit now. And you've got a lot that's available. But, now you really need to take advantage of what there is available.
And I think it's safe to say, now we've talked about the fact that if somebody has, $30, they can contact you and get started. But you have people who do contact Wright's Coin Shop who want to just buy like $50,000 worth of stuff all in one fell swoop. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. And we can definitely accommodate them on that. Any amount they want, there is no problem.
Yeah, and then when people buy a huge amount, when they can say, hey, here's 50, here's 100 grand, and they just buy a ton of stuff from you guys, what do you think they do with it? Do they bury that? Do they have a safe somewhere? Where are they putting this?
Let's hope that they have a safe somewhere. Let's hope that they've thought ahead. And I think a lot of people put these things in their safe deposit boxes. Other people, They have secret little places in their house. Some people bury it, but, you really want to watch how you do that because the soil will definitely mess with metals.
So if people are lucky enough to be in the Asheville, North Carolina area, how can they come and visit you guys?
They can come see us at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road in Asheville, which isn't all that far from Biltmore Estate.
And what you're right off of exit 51, is that right?
We are. Right off of exit 51, go to the bottom of the ramp and turn left, and it's roughly 1.3 miles from there.
Okay. And, of course, WrightsCoinShop.com has got a map and all this stuff to make it easy. That's WRIGHTS, WrightsCoinShop.com. And how can people call you directly if they want to talk to Ms. Shelley Wright in person?
They can call me at 828-298-5402.
Okay, now again, write this down, everybody. You can call up Shelly and get some legitimate personal advice on how you should, you know, start getting involved with buying gold and silver coins. 828-298-5402. Again, that's 828-298-5402. You know, Shelly, have you ever felt that maybe when we give this phone number out on the air, that if somebody gets it a little bit wrong, they might call up, say, a hooker or a sex line or something like that?
Oh, it's funny that you should say that, but I have a story about that. Yes.
Let's hear it. This is the perfect time.
This is before I started working there. And apparently the word coin is a difficult word to hear and understand. And this man had come in and done some shopping, and he left his credit card. So Dad was trying to be really nice, and somehow he got the man's phone number. He called, his wife answered, and he said where he was calling. This is Wright's Coin Shop. Well, your husband was just in here. He left his credit card. Well, I don't know what my husband would be doing in a place like that. And, she was just so offended. She was awful. She came down to get the card, and then she realized, it wasn't a porn shop. It was a coin shop. Yeah.
Well, it kind of reminds me of what's the commercial for some insurance company where the guy's State Farm or something, the guy's talking on the telephone, and then it's in the middle of the night, his wife's like,
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you wearing? And he's like, I've got on some khakis, you know. So, Well, okay, here's a story from Hamden, Connecticut. A power company there sent a letter in the mail to 2,500 residents urging them to contact the, they call it the United Illuminating Company. And the phone number, however, had a typo in it, and it directed everybody to a phone sex service. And the funny thing is, now, remember, this is a power company. And so when people call the number, the little sexy voice says, wow, are we going to turn you on?
Ooh. It's hard to believe that was a mistake.
Yeah, it is. So they're calling that an unfortunate coincidence. Mm-hmm. A little quinky dink there. And obviously they said that all the signatures, like the mayor, for example, who had his name attached, does not endorse this incorrect, salacious phone number. It's just one of those crazy little mistakes that gets made once in a while. Next story comes to us from the UK. Headline here is, man dials 911 to report ugly hooker. Yes, a guy called Britain's version of 911 to allegedly complain about a hooker who did not look as advertised. The man said she advertised herself as an attractive hooker, but the woman he met was so ugly, she looked like a man. And he said that it's against British advertising standards for her to place the ad claiming to be attractive, and that she should be arrested for false advertising. How do you like that?
It is in the eye of the beholder.
Well, in my case, beauty's in the eye of the beer holder. But I get the point. So Shelly, speaking of advertising and false advertising, is the Wright's Coin Shop sign up yet?
No, but the sign man called yesterday. I don't know what he said. I have no idea. I know he called. I gave the call to my dad, and that's where it ended. I have no idea.
Have the listeners started the petition yet to make sure that you're on the sign, Shelly?
I don't know. I haven't heard. I haven't really been able to have a good conversation with Dad.
Well, the good news is if they put you on the sign, nobody can claim it's false advertising because there's no way that you could be misrepresented as something the customer would not be happy with. What is that? Did I hear the Florida bell already in the background?
Maybe.
What was that for us?
Maybe.
Getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. I do have a nice Florida story in here, though. Here's a story. This is from Beverly Hills, California. A woman claims she was kidnapped by two masked men and then admitted today that she made up the story to avoid being arrested for drunken driving. 24-year-old woman was found in the trunk of her hatchback car. And, this woman went to the extent of locking herself in the trunk and saying that two masked men had broken into her apartment and ordered her to get into the car and drive. Isn't that weird?
Maybe she should have put this much thought in before she drank too much.
Yeah,
you know?
I'd say that's a good idea. Yeah. Next story we have here. Oh, this is one of those McDonald's stories.
Oh.
Don't we love a good McDonald's story?
Oh.
Forrest, anytime you see a story that says McDonald's and, in quotations, special sauce.
Ew.
Doesn't it just make you cringe a little bit?
It does.
Yeah. You know, when is the last time you went to McDonald's and had some special sauce, Mars?
I ate McDonald's just before I came here tonight, Mr. Warren.
Is that right?
Yes.
Did you really?
I
What'd
did.
You have at McDonald's?
I had a quarter pounder.
Oh, okay.
And
Shelly, huh?
Well, and Kelly had the fish sandwich.
Oh, the fish sandwich, huh? And Shelly, when's the last time you went to McDonald's?
I don't know.
It's been a while, huh?
It's been a long time.
Well, this is a story about a McDonald's, and it's from Nova Scotia, which is funny because McDonald's stories are very much part of what we like to call Americana.
Yeah.
But this is a Canadian story. Special sauce. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will explain what you need to be wary of if you visit a McDonald's in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. It's the Dark 30 Hour when we dig into the more outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. I'll tell you about it when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Like a dead man from a white oak tree, people sitting on porches thinking how things used to be. Dark night, it's a dark night, dark night, it's a dark night. The neighborhood was changing, stranger than me. A new boy there for a local girl, but she made eyes dim. She was young and pretty, no stranger to other men. But the windows were being locked that night. The old line's grown again. I thought these things didn't matter anymore. I thought all that blood had been shed long ago. Dark night. It's a dark night.
Yet the Dark 30 Hour. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. This is the hour of the program when we talk about some of the more outrageous and controversial material, okay? It's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, so just tune out if you don't want to hear this stuff. These are true news stories that you don't hear so much about in the mainstream media. As we say, this is the program that explores the summit of mankind's enlightenment and the pit of his depravity, and, well, this whole hour is devoted to the pit of the depravity. And before we get into this McDonald's story regarding a special sauce, let me just remind all of you, if you go to joshuapwarren.com, you will see a little video there about a strange little device called the Wishing Machine. That's right, the Wishing Machine Radionics Box. And if it didn't work, we wouldn't be selling it. If you don't know what the Wishing Machine is, go watch the video there, and you'll see me sitting there explaining what it is, how it works. It's easy to find. It's right there on the homepage, joshuapwarren.com. There is no period after the P, joshuapwarren.com. And you'll see why we have stacks of papers from all over the world, from people thanking us for making this, because it has worked so incredibly well for them. And I mentioned last week there was a guy who was in a legal situation, and he contacted us, and he bought a wishing machine, and it got him out of that situation. Well, maybe this guy needs a wishing machine. This guy from Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. I kind of misled you all a little bit, because when I talk about McDonald's and special sauce, I'm sure that everybody listening to the show who is in McDonald's management and administration, they cringe. They're like, oh, God, what have we done now? Well, in this case, McDonald's is not at fault, because the full headline is, Canadian man is accused of producing his own special sauce. Patrons of the McDonald's say around 8:15 a.m., it's always sicker somehow when these things happen in the morning. I guess, you know, if it's late at night, you justify it like, well, he's been partying, he's been drinking. But when it happens at 8:15 on a Wednesday morning, 44-year-old man was spotted sitting there in the McDonald's parking lot masturbating in his vehicle. And what can I tell you? His value meal was involved.
Save it for home, dude.
One of the police spokespeople says, quote, "We strongly suggest for people not to take the matter into their own hands," end quote. Waka waka. And this story from the Huffington Post goes on to say that while you may think and hope this advice will never be relevant to you, the naked truth is that public masturbators are on the rise. This is becoming a real problem, they say. So, you know, I'm not sure how to explain this exactly, but it is a real phenomenon, and it's something that needs to be considered. Why do that in public? It doesn't make any sense to me. Forrest, do you have any insight whatsoever on the, shall we say, phenomenon of public masturbation?
None whatsoever.
Miss Wright?
I don't know. Maybe there's a thrill to possibly being caught.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe that's part of it. In fact, the story goes on to say that just last month, a Florida man was arrested after allegedly hoisting his mast at passing sailboats and a boat ramp in Florida. And days later, another Florida fellow was accused of doing his business there at the door of a local business. And it seems to me it's very fitting, therefore, for us to talk about this next story that comes to us from the great state of freaky Florida. There we have it. You know, you know how I've talked about Myrtle Beach as the redneck Riviera?
Right.
Right? Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I kind of think that Daytona Beach would qualify for that as well.
It's up there.
What do you think, Mark? Yeah. Daytona Beach. As a matter of fact, the first time that I ever actually saw a random old weary-looking woman just running around topless on the beach was during my senior trip when, you know, I would have been around 17, 18. We went to Disney World for my senior trip, and we stopped off at Daytona Beach. And I heard all of my classmates go, oh! And I looked over, and here's this woman who looks like she had one foot in the grave, and she's just running around, and, you know, the sandbags are swinging. So, what, you ever seen a woman in public like that, just out of the blue with her breasts out far?
No.
No?
No.
Never happened to you?
No.
Wow. That's amazing. I feel sorry for you. You're so sheltered, Forrest.
I know.
Lived a sheltered life. How about you, Shelley? Have you seen that sort of thing?
Nope.
Nope. Just, you've never been that woman?
No, I have never been that woman.
Okay. So, this is a Daytona Beach story, and headline is, Florida man beaten, robbed, and stripped naked on first date. okay, beaten, robbed, forced to strip naked, and abandoned on the side of a road during a first date gone horribly wrong. Authorities found a nude man walking on the shoulder of State Road 100 in Bunnell, Florida, near a cow pasture. The guy said he was assaulted and mugged by his date and her two unidentified male companions. And he said he met this woman at a convenience store in Daytona Beach. They struck up a friendship and decided to go out on a date. And she told this man she'd take him out to dinner after she dropped off these two unidentified men at her brother's home. But after several minutes on the road, the woman abruptly turned onto an unknown side street, stopped at a cow pasture, and they say that he exited the vehicle and was bludgeoned twice with a hard metal object.
Oh!
You know, collapsed to the ground, held his face in his hands, and one of the men said, "Give me all your money and all your clothes." And he told the police that he replied, "Are you serious?" And one of the men said to him, "Do you see what I've got pointed at you?" And he opened his eyes and saw a semi-automatic pistol pointed straight at his face, and he complied, and then they all fled the scene. So this guy was robbed for $200 and a prepaid cell phone. Isn't that crazy? And then, of course, they also took his driver's license, his tank top, and his black Dickie shorts, and a pair of sneakers. And the deputy who discovered this guy disoriented said, you know, they took him in and treated him for several lacerations on the right side of his face. I was recently, when I was going through my whole car acquisition process here in Puerto Rico, I was on the side of the street, and I was trying to hail a cab in a place where cabs are not that prevalent. And all of a sudden, this car pulls up. And I look into this car, and it's being driven by this single woman, and she was very attractive. She kind of looked like a young Catherine Zeta-Jones, right? And she rolls down the window and says, "Hey there, are you looking for a ride?" And I actually was looking for a ride. In fact, I was kind of in a desperate state because I was working against the clock here. And I was torn because I thought to myself, boy, this would be perfect if I could jump in the car with this woman and I could go off and she'd take me where I need to be next and, you know, being a good Samaritan. But then another part of me thought, this just isn't natural. You know, why would this woman all by herself, this attractive young woman, pull up in front of me and what I could be a serial killer and offer me a ride. It's almost like, you know, I was afraid that if I got in that car, the spider's web would you know, entrap the fly here. And next thing you know, I'd be off in some alleyway where the thugs are waiting, where they murder me and take all my stuff. So, I mean, did I make a wise decision? I'll never know, I guess. But, you know, I think probably, you know, I probably did. But, well, Shelly, you're a woman. How do you feel about what I just described there?
That sounds kind of sketchy to me. I think you definitely made the right decision. I mean, not that you're not a handsome guy, and I'm sure she was attracted to you, but it sounds like, I mean, you're what, 6'2"? You're
6'2".
6'2".
Right.
You're a big guy. You know, I can't see some woman approaching a stranger that's as tall as you are and as big as you are, and you know, maybe not. You know what I mean? It's just sketchy. Maybe.
Yeah. Either that or I just look so dorky here when I'm wearing my hat and my, like, tourist shorts, and she just took pity on me. We're going to take a break. When we come back, wait to hear this other story from Florida, and then one that I especially think is interesting from Pakistan. It's the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the hour of the show when you should turn off the radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material. Because, yes, we're talking about the stuff that's a little bit more sordid and seedy and controversial. Stuff that's not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. So bear that in mind as you listen tonight or choose not to listen. That's totally fine. You can tune back in here top in the next hour and hear something a bit more family-friendly. You know, Shelley Wright, maybe we should start calling you Miss Goldfinger, huh?
Yeah, I don't like that so much.
You don't like Goldfinger?
No, I really don't.
Maybe that's what you should have on the new Wright's Coin Shop sign. Just a big gold finger.
Uh-huh.
Which finger would it be, though, right? I bet you've given people the gold finger a few times.
Yeah, in this very studio.
I've seen that. Morris and I have both seen the Goldfinger.
Mm-hmm. Nobody would ever know anything was up just by listening to us.
That's why that I'm glad I'm broadcasting here from Puerto Rico now. Uh-huh. So only Forrest gets that abuse from you now. I'm safe. I'm one of the few people who went to the Bermuda Triangle to be safe. Security. All right. So, Shelly, how much time have you spent in Florida?
I drove through it once. I don't spend time in Florida. So maybe I flew into the airport to go to Puerto Rico. I don't remember. It's all a blur.
And you still haven't been to Disney World, right?
Right.
I say we take up a collection for Shelly Wright to have a Disney World trip.
I say just take up a collection and I'll go someplace else. I don't do Disney.
You've got to do Disney at least once in your life.
No, I don't.
Why?
Well, I would be the one that would get stuck on that ride with the song that played over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. It's a small world.
Well, if anybody listening wants to put together a collection for Shelly to go to Disney World,
any place else but Disney World.
Or had you rather go to Disneyland?
No Disney.
California?
Yeah, no Disney for me. No.
I think you'd like it.
No.
Well, you know, nowadays Disney has some stuff that's more geared toward adults, right, Forrest?
I think they do.
Yeah, like Porn Island.
What? I think this is a dream you had last night.
Oh, yeah, never mind. That was something else. It's like my, you know, Pornocchio, one of my favorite porn movies, Pornocchio. Yeah. Lie to me, baby, lie to me. Okay. Here's a story from a place called Okaloosa Island, Florida. a little delayed there. Forrest, you and I have been to Florida goodness knows how many times.
Enough times, yes.
Have you ever heard of Okaloosa Island?
I don't think I have.
I never have. I have no idea where that is. Okaloosa Island. Well, the headline here is, I ain't effing leaving and you can't make me.
Oh, this is a good one.
Wow, Okaloosa must be really nice, huh? Says here, it's always great when your story starts out with these...
Okaloosa Island's over on the Panhandle, right below us.
Oh.
Right between Fort Walton Beach and Destin.
So it's kind of on the Gulf, then?
Yes.
Okay. The Gulf of Mexico has just never been really a nice place to hang out, in my opinion. It's always murky and kind of nasty, wouldn't you say, Forrest?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first three words of the story are, a drunk man... a drunk man who was shouting profanities at children and others on the beach was arrested after he resisted an Okaloosa County Sheriff's deputy. The incident occurred at the boardwalk. A woman approached the deputy and told him a man was yelling profanities and he had mooned several people. The deputy approached the man and noticed he reeked of alcohol. He also had trouble standing. And as he spoke with the deputy, he continued cursing people, so the deputy told him he was trespassing and had to leave. And the man replied, I ain't effing leaving, and you can't make me. And when he was told a second time, the man said, F you, you're not a real cop. Well, actually, this was a real cop. This was a deputy wearing a uniform, a gun, and badge. So when the man was told to put his hands behind his back, he said no. And when the deputy tried to grab his wrist, the man pulled away and started crying. Oh, what a tough guy. That's an attractive man right there, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you like that guy, ladies? That's Florida. Okay, next we go to the story from Pakistan. Yeah, apparently, Pakistan, by all surveys and standards, it leads the world in homophobia. which of course is just this denial of homosexuality, right? Where they're just like, oh, you know, we hate homosexuals, and yet this new report says they actually lead the world in Googling gay porn.
Hmm.
Yeah. Says here, there's a broad acceptance of homosexuality in North America and the European Union and much of Latin America. However, rejection of homosexuality is equally widespread in predominantly Muslim nations in sub-Saharan Africa, as well as parts of Asia and Russia. And so they go on here talking about how it's very weird that there's a little twist that this place, which, and this trend kind of goes through other places, that are publicly all against being gay, they are looking up a lot of gay porn for some reason. And so, you know, what does that tell us? Well, I guess that if you are looking up a lot of gay porn, but you're saying I'm against gays, there's a little bit of a struggle within here.
That's it, too.
Yeah. So we'll have to look into that one, right? Forrest, you want to research that story deeply, find out what they're looking at?
I'll leave that one for you.
Okay. All right, let's move to another country then. Forrest, do you know what some tig old biddies are?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. How about you, Shelley?
I suppose so.
Well, they were flying recently. I'm talking flying in a place called Doon, Ireland.
Really?
Yeah. Two women have been arrested for what they did, what was a brawl, really, in front of children. It's one of these deals. The fight broke out at 9:15 a.m. So we have to ask ourselves again, were these people up drinking all night, or was this how they started their day? These two women were biting, scratching, pulling hair, kicking, everything you name it. Says they were in the middle of the street. They were down on the ground on top of each other, beating each other's heads off. Next thing you know, bras went flying through the air, and it was vicious. There was blood on the ground, and that's when the tig old biddies were flying around in the middle of the street in Ireland. The Limerick Leader says the two women involved, both in their 30s, were the best of friends, but had a serious falling out in recent times. That is exactly what you want to see in Ireland as a tourist. We're going to take a break. When we come back, this is a good one from New York, and then we have another one from Wisconsin, and it's one of those stories, my friends. This is what we call the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Stick around if you want to get really dark and twisted. This is the program that we call Speaking of Strange.
Things we've done.
Throughout the program tonight, and you're listening to the final minutes of this evening's Speaking of Strange, the Dark 30 Hour. Thanks for spending your Saturday night with us. And, you know, Dark 30, I got to reiterate here now, you know, this is when we talk about more of the outrageous and controversial stuff, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended, the more sordid and seedy stuff. So just tune out if you have a connection to those scenarios. So I've got a couple of final stories here for you. We always struggle a little bit on the best way to describe a man's special part, right, Forrest?
Right.
I mean, you can call it a tallywhacker. You can call it a one-eyed trouser snake. You can call it his Johnson. In fact, isn't there an Air Force base in North Carolina called Seymour Johnson,
Forrest? Yes, there is.
Do I need to say more? I think not. But we on this show, we're a classier breed, and so we just decide to call it a man's thingy. Most of the time, we say that his thingy. So here's a story from New York, New York, the Big Apple. They say surprisingly, not posting pictures of your genitalia on the internet is quite easy, and yet here we are. Last week, a listing for an otherwise humdrum studio apartment on the Upper West Side got jazzed up a bit when the broker attached to the property posted a picture of, a tallywhacker, a thingy, as the lead image. According to Gawker, the broker was unaware of the mistake and denied ownership of the thingy in question. He went on to muse that perhaps he had been the victim of a hacker inexplicably targeting professionals in the real estate industry because, you know, that's what hackers do, right? Anyway, they say the whole debacle might be read as a visual metaphor for the hapless renter willing to pay $2,000 a month for a 500-square-foot studio on the top floor of a four-story walk-up. Now, think about that. 500 square feet on top of a four-story walk-up, $2,000 a month. Amazing. Why does that remind me of Andrew Weiner?
I was going to say the same thing.
That towering stalk of democracy. And now we have a final story from Waukesha, Wisconsin. A 41-year-old man there was charged with arguing loudly on behalf of one of America's lesser-known freedoms, the right of a man to love a goat. He was charged on June 13th in the county circuit court with carrying a concealed weapon and disorderly conduct and asking strangers outside a bar, "Do you think it's right to blank a goat?" According to the dispatch there, they say that they had a lot of calls coming in. The guy was complaining that he was, people were complaining the guy was asking people the question. And they say he'd been drinking heavily when he got into this big, loud argument over the constitutional right to love a goat. And eventually he was arrested. And it seems like a couple of people might have taken some shots at him because he needed to go to the hospital beforehand. Seems to me like this could be a case of bad judgment. Right? Yeah, sorry, amigos. Couldn't help it. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the program. Unless you have some further commentary, Forrest.
I'm commentaried out.
All right. Shelley?
No, I think you've said it all.
It's hard to follow up on that one. So I'll just thank Brian Hall, Forrest Connor, John Anderson, Mobius, and Kuka. This is Speaking of Strange, where the unusual becomes usual. So next time, be at speakingofstrange.com. Sign up for the free e-newsletter and Twitter. And tune in next week for a brand new one. You are commanded! Right across the floor.